All right, so I'm here in the studio with Aspen Mirabal. Aspen, hi. I'm going to give a little bit of context first, and then we'll jump into our conversation. So again, this is TCS Radio Hour, where we meet, and this program is supported by the Northern Rio Grande National Heritage Area. We thank them for their support. Today we're going to be talking with Aspen, who's 26. She's a doula from Taos Pueblo. I'm so happy to have you as a guest today to talk about your work. So you grew up here, and then you went to Guatemala to apprentice with a midwife. And then you came back to Taos and joined a program of Tewa Women United to become a doula. To give everyone a brief definition of a doula, it's somebody who is supporting a mother through childbirth, and we'll go back to that in more details. But I'm very excited to have you here. Thank you, Aspen. I wonder if, you know, that was a very quick, brief bio that I gave of you. Do you want to go in a little more detail and tell us about who you are and how you came to being a doula?
Sure. Good morning and good afternoon to all the listeners. I'm Aspen. I'm here in the studio with my son, Quinn, and my little sister, Massa. She's the one tending to him right now, which is really, really great because now I can just pour my heart out and talk about the work that I do. Thank you, Elise, for having me today. Wow, as a doula, I've been doula-ing or doing birth work for about like over 5 years now. And the work started, probably 10 years back. The interest of women giving birth, midwives in northern New Mexico, delivering babies has always been something that I've been curious about. As a young woman, I was able to attend the birth of Kona, who is my my other younger sister. And that was a home birth on Taos Pueblo. And I think that's where the magic begun. So fast forward to my studies and being a little bit more courageous in what I wanted to do in my life, I decided to go on the path of becoming a midwife. I didn't know what that looked like or how to start, but I remember going to a childbirth ed class led by some local midwives years ago. And they asked, "Oh, girlfriend, like, are you pregnant?" I'm like, no. Like, I want to do what you do. I want to be able to educate and be there during the pregnancy and labor and delivery and so on. And they're like, "Okay, well, we can help you." And so with the support of some local midwives, they put me on the path to really be able to have an idea of what I wanted to do. That makes sense.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. Thank you. And from there, what happened? Like, what was your path to actually working as a doula here?
Mm-hmm. So, like you said, I went to Guatemala. I did a simple Google search. I said, midwifery apprenticeship, South America, Central America. And what came up was some, I can't even remember, just an opportunity to study with rural traditional midwives in Guatemala. So I reached out to this organization. They put me in contact with a woman that was able to match me with a traditional midwife in Guatemala. I went there, studied for about 2 months, had my butt kicked, and experience was a true immersion into what my life would be like if I chose the path of midwifery. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. Midwifery is hard. But I also realized that there's so much more support needed in the postpartum realm or the fourth trimester. That's after the baby is born. And for so many families having their first baby, your world turns upside down. You know, I consider it the wet period. You have tears, you're crying, your milk is coming in, you're wet and sticky, you're bleeding from giving birth and sweating a lot of times. Like, one moment you're hot and taking clothes off, and one moment you're covering yourself up. So, yeah, when I came back to the States, I was able to really hone in on what I wanted to do, and that's give support to families and women in the postpartum time. And so I started doing trainings, certified in some things, and then that led me to the Tao Women United doula program, the IAV Kagindi program, and that's when it clicked, you know?
That's awesome. I wonder if you can tell us about this program. I know that's a little later in what I wanted to ask you, but can you tell us about the program and what it is and what it trains you to do? Like, as a doula, you've been talking about, you know, the postpartum part of your work, but there's also before the birth, you're around, and during the birth, you're with your people, and I wonder if you could tell us one about the program and what that looks like and why it came to be, if you know, like give us little details on the specificities of this doula program, and then talk about the doula work you do overall, like beyond the postpartum, like how, what is your role with families?
Right. Okay.
Big questions. Sorry.
I think I got it. Okay. So Tao Women United is an organization based out of Española, New Mexico. And they have this incredible doula program. It's a full-spectrum doula program, the IAV Kagindi program. And I was part of the first cohort. You know, they developed their curriculum very much tailored to the people and the culture, you know, the multi-diversity of northern New Mexico. And so I was in that first cohort to become certified as a full-spectrum doula, which encompasses preconception education, the entire pregnancy experience, it even, you know, postpartum experience, and then abortion support and infant loss. So it's a pretty dense curriculum, but one of the most outstanding, well-developed curriculums, because it was something that I could, that I truly connected with, because there was Native language used in the curriculum. There was activities that were very much rooted in some of my ancestral teachings and how I've been brought up. And, you know, I think when it comes to birth work here in northern New Mexico, in my community specifically of Taos Pueblo, we've been so far removed from so many practices traditionally. It's not just in birth work and tending to the pregnancy and the delivery. But I think Tao Women United did a really good job collecting all of this rich information from so many of the surrounding communities. I forgot to mention that so much of the training had a strong emphasis with lactation education and support, which, I mean, Elise is a mama too, and she knows that that's a whole nother world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One that you don't expect, or I guess I did not expect. And I was like, oh, wow, right, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and so currently I consider myself a full-spectrum doula. And when families come to see me, they might be at very different stages. You know, I sometimes have people sign up with me and they just found out they're pregnant, or those that are in the process of wanting to conceive. And so it's a really precious time to be able to show up for these families and meet them where they're at, meet their families, and be able to hold space for them in their homes or in coffee shops with them or in hospital settings or birth center settings, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Thank you. And I wanted to go back to what you were saying about how well built the program is, centered on northern New Mexico communities. I wonder if you would have maybe examples of what seems significant to you in the approach of the program, if that was maybe about having a space for home births and why that is relevant here, or I don't know, maybe you have thoughts on what stuck out to you as the most relevant part of the doula work in northern New Mexico.
Mm, okay, I'll try my best to answer that question. You know, I'm not a person, a birth worker, that will say home birth is best or breastfeeding is best or this is how you should do it. I really enjoy meeting families where they're at. I had mentioned that. And that could mean like, oh, I really want a hospital birth, or I really want to know what options I have. Is it possible to not have OBGYN tend to me? Mm-hmm. What are midwives? Are there other doulas in the area that you can connect me with? And so most of my job and my work is educating people, because it's so much of this information isn't widely known, and it's ever-changing. There's so much evidence out there. There's so many articles and YouTube videos and social media pages that really confuse the minds of individuals. And during this like sacred, very vulnerable time of pregnancy, you're trying to do right. You know, you're trying to find the best option. Meanwhile, like, maybe you're not so comfortable getting poked and jabbed with needles and getting your blood drawn, and you're wanting another alternative, but you're like, maybe that's all that I have. Mm-hmm. Or so I don't know why I said that. That was just like a quick little example. But I think specific to Northern New Mexico, just continuing to educate families and communities about the options that they have, because if they want a midwife to tend to them, they can have that. Mm-hmm. But if they want their doctor, mm-hmm. you know, to mm-hmm. tend to them and have a more Western approach to their pregnancy, like, I'm going to support them and normalize that for them. Because often people feel shame, like, oh, I'm an Indigenous person, I should therefore birth at home in my, you know, sacred space. But that's not always the truth either. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, when I had Quinn, I delivered him in the hospital, and, you know, I had an induction, ended up getting an epidural, and I had to think to myself, like, this is okay. Mm-hmm. This is okay, even though I often perceive myself as someone that can take it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to after, like, 30 hours, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I wonder if we can, with what you're saying about kind of the pressure, not necessarily the pressure, but the notion of ourselves when we become mothers, of what we should do and how we should act and what is right. I'm actually interested in how communities around us help us through that transition. And you being a tribal member of Taos Pueblo and having apprenticed in Guatemala, I wonder if you could tell us if you perceive now a different approach in those communities than the one that maybe is more mainstream here in America, mm-hmm. of like the Western medicalized approach to birth and mm-hmm. becoming a mother.
Yeah, that's a big question. Well, my interest in birth work is most definitely connected to me being a, you know, tribal member as well, and being so connected and rooted in different forms of ceremony. And I, when I went to Guatemala, the reason for that and me choosing to go to Central America was this idea that was instilled in me at a very young age from my father, and that's that we're corn people. You know, Pueblo people are an agrarian people, and we've always been growing corn. And I kind of followed that trail. You know, I have this obsession with South America. I go there often, and they grow corn. And in Central America, there's cornfields for miles, and so I felt like, okay, there's the similarity, you know. They not only do they look like my aunties and uncles from the village, and their babies look like my cousins, but they have something that we have too. And so when I went down into Central America to study with this midwife, there were some similarities in stuff that I've seen in my community, but also not. And so I felt like, okay, well, I can share what I can with them and take some of this information back so that I can like fit these puzzle pieces together to have a bigger picture, because there are no midwives and doulas really here, you know, from Taos Pueblo. There's no practicing Taos Pueblo midwife. So wanting to find a mentor, someone that I could really learn from in my community was not possible. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I've like looked elsewhere. But in my findings or like my teachings, community plays the biggest role, you know. Families here are multi-generational, you know. You have like your sister living with their parents and grandparents, and maybe there's a cousin or two in the house. And so it's very common that we're all taking care of the child. Very harsh reality for so many people in the world is that they're away from their families. And that's heartbreaking, especially when it comes to raising a child. You shouldn't be doing that on your own, you know? And so I don't know if I'm answering your question, but if there's an opportunity to be around family and friends and your community, if that still exists, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, you were definitely talking to my question. Okay. But I do have a following question, and if that's there's nothing that comes to mind or that you want to share, that's fine. But I was wondering if, like, in the community approach around motherhood, specifically from Taos Pueblo, if there is like a special way to accompany young parents or not, and if so, what you see as important for women who are becoming mothers, because that's a huge identity transformation. Yeah, and I'm curious if you have seen or identified any aspects of community work that facilitate that transition for women.
Mm-hmm. Mm, well, you had mentioned young parents, you know, first-time parents. Man, it's... I think our grandmas and our parents do a pretty good job saying, hey, don't do that, or why are you doing that? Like, don't breastfeed, or you need to be breastfeeding, or you need to feed your child that. You know, like, there's a lot of boundaries that are crossed. And, you know, I was a home visitor for a time, and I had noticed that these young families were like, you know, these young parents were saying, like, I really am interested in this topic or this way of parenting, maybe gentle parenting, for example. And yet their family members weren't supporting that, mm-hmm. or they were judging them for their approach to, you know, the decisions they were making for their children, even down to their birth experience. Like, why are you going with a midwife? That's so barbaric, or that's like, that's a very like, irresponsible way of doing things, when really, no, you know, just respect the your child's, you know, their wants and how they want to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's any specific way to support that, it's just to listen, you know, listen, because so much of the world is changing constantly. There's new. And, I'm holding Quinn right now.
That's the parenting distracted. In action. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Well, why don't we take a quick music break? We're going to listen to Baltimore from Nina Simone, and then we'll be back to continue our conversation. All right, stay tuned. And you're listening to KNC Taos 93.5 FM, truetaosradio.com. I'm Alice Mourillon, and I'm here in the studio with Aspen Mirabal. This is TCS Radio Hour, where we meet. And again, this is supported by the Northern Rio Grande National Heritage Area. We thank them for the support that makes this radio show possible. And we're talking about Northern New Mexico birth work with Aspen. So for whomever didn't catch the early part of the interview, Aspen is a doula, a full spectrum doula here. She's from Taos Pueblo, and she's working with communities here around Taos. Aspen, you're currently working on a curriculum for birth classes, and I think the idea is that this classes will be taught here, I think, in Taos Pueblo, and also online, pretty much anywhere where mothers want to join online. And I wonder if you can tell us about the value you see in teaching women and their partners this class, and I guess the difference between your doula work, where you're like in depth in the families, and this is going to be probably a little more educational, not on the surface level, but training before the birth, where you may not be there.
Hi, everyone, again. So I'm currently working on a childbirth education course. Very, very small, very humble, laid back. Let's see, in 2017, I was trained and certified through the, I cannot remember the name, but for the Indigenous Childbirth Education something, to basically certify me as a childbirth ed trainer. Okay.
So sounds good.
I'm currently in the process of developing a curriculum that's mostly tailored to the people of Northern New Mexico. And like you said, like the classes will be offered to my tribal community members of Taos Pueblo and other Native Indigenous people that might reside here, as well as online, so that I have more reach. You know, as a doula, like you had mentioned, it is very much, it's so intimate, you know. I'm visiting with the families, I'm sitting with them, I'm eating food or drinking something, and, you know, it's very, very relaxed and intense, too, at times. Whereas, you know, I can't do that every day, all the time, and be on call, especially now, like having my almost two-year-old son, it's a lot of work. And so I've been trying to figure out a way to have a much farther reach, tend to more families at a given time versus like one to two families every, you know, few months. And so I felt like this childbirth education class would be of, you know, a lot of value, especially because in the past I've had to turn families away. You know, like I can't take every family on that wants me to be their doula as much as I would want to, you know. And so with this class, I'm still in the early stages, to be honest, but what I envision is that it can be offered more regularly for the people of Taos as well, because it's very hard. I've come to find out, to find a childbirth education class in your community. Taos used to provide those for families, and I don't know what happened, you know, stuff gets complicated, but I really want to be that person for families, and I feel like it's going to be really fun, and still have these elements of intimacy and spirituality, but very much tied into current, updated research, very evidence-based as well, because that's also really important to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And jumping on the spirituality and the connection that you can foster with the families you're helping, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the role of the fathers or the partners in how you see couples and families getting ready for birth. I feel like a lot of the information is aimed at the mother who's mm-hmm. about to have the child, but the person with them plays a key role, and I feel like your approach very much brings them in, and I wonder if you can talk about the importance of those partners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in the families that I've been able to help, I've seen it all, you know. I've seen single mothers and those that are married with their partners, those going through stuff, those where no one is really around and it's just them, you know, wanting to educate themselves and support themselves through this experience. You know, sometimes I've noticed that the role of a doula kind of replaces the partner when they're not around. You know, being a doula is showing up in a very physical and mentally supportive and spiritual and physical way that, you know, like having a partner there is everything, you know. And when you have more people that you love attending your birth, that really matters, and it changes the outcome of, you know, the entire experience. And so in thinking about really holding the family and seeing everyone as their own individual, but like trying to figure out like what their roles are and teach them, it should always be like that, you know. Like, yeah, we're focusing on the mother and the person that's pregnant and their child, and that's, you know, that's a given. But often you see dads and partners really pushed aside. You know, they're not asked about their well-being or how they're preparing or what they're not enjoying about the experience, or even down to like if they're drinking enough water, are they getting in those steps or eating? And so that just needs to be the norm, you know, because as mothers, as people giving birth and carrying life for all of those months, we're going through the most intense journey. And the first time you give birth, it is truly an initiation. You hit the ground sprinting, you know, and you're forced to assume this role. And so are our fathers and partners. And often they're just kind of left behind and expected to fill these roles, but maybe they don't have proper models or, you know, people that have shown them what that looks like. And even though I'm not a male, I'm not a father, and I don't and will never know what that's like, I try my best to really make sure that everyone is feeling equally loved and supported by me. And I hope that answers your question.
It does, very much so. Thank you. Yeah. All right, I think we're going to wrap up this conversation. It's already 9:45. And before we finish, I wonder if somebody out here in this community wants to find a doula to work with them through pregnancy and birth, how do they go about that?
Yeah, that's a perfect question to end the show. Okay, so I think I'm ready to start taking on clients for next year. And so if you catch me soon and you say, hey, Aspen, I'm due in, you know, April 2024 or onward, you know, I might be able to accommodate you for your birth and your pregnancy needs and so on. But there are doulas. We had mentioned at the beginning of the show, Tell Women United, they have their doula program. And you can always reach out to them, check out their website, check out their social media to see if there's doulas in the area that have availability to attend to your birth. Tell Women United serves all the like Santa Fe to Taos, really. There's also the New Mexico Doula Association, and they have a directory where there's so many different doulas in the state of New Mexico that are listed, and that's really helpful. Not all of the doulas are listed, but you might be able to find somebody in your area, depending where you're listening or choosing to give birth or whatever. So, if you want to reach out to me, I think email is best. Social media. I have an account on Instagram at Milk Earth Blood, and my email is milk.earth.blood@gmail.com. Or you could just find me at Smith's or Sid's or in Walmart, like cruising, getting gas, and you can come up to me. I'm open to the conversation and looking forward to serving my community again since having my son.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your work and for the references of, you know, other doulas. If are you not able to help everybody who's going to come to you now? All right, we're going to take a quick broadcast break, and then we'll be back with some music. Again, this was Aspen Mirabal on Where We Meet, a program of TCA, Taos Center for the Arts. We'll be right back.
Thank you.